Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this time that we're here together. Lord, we really want your name to be honored and magnified and glorified. We pray, Lord, that you would help us and strengthen us in your word here today. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know you, Lord, that you'd have mercy upon him, open their eyes, that they might see your truth and the incredible salvation that you've provided for them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is an incredible verse right here. It gives us a great deal of information about God's salvation. And a lot of things that we could touch on in this passage and concentrate on. And I want to just deal basically with one aspect of the salvation that God has provided for us. If you reread with me verse 18 again, he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." Amen. As silver and gold. Mike probably could have just taken his Sunday school lesson and then just transitioned right into this. You know, it just seemed to fit so well, because what I want to talk about is the incorruptible nature of God. The incorruptible nature of the salvation. And he makes a point starting out with, and it's amazing that he even needs to make this point here, but he does. He says that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Like silver and gold. And to me, that is an incredible thing, to think that God would be swayed with silver and gold. But there are men that might think that he is. You know why? Is because we are swayed with silver and gold, aren't we? Isn't there an old phrase that say every man has his price? A man says, "No, I'm sorry, can't do it, you know, no way. Hey, man, I'll give you 20 bucks. No, I'm sorry, 20 bucks is not going to sway me, you know. I'm going to do this thing by principle, you know. I have a principle and I'm not going to violate it. Well, how about 100 bucks? No. You know, and you get high enough. I know my own nature. You know, we got bills to pay, right, you know. We got things we want to buy, you know, we got things, so somebody offers me enough money, I'm just praying nobody would ever offer me money to violate my principles, you know. But money talks, man, I'm telling you, money talks. But God's not swayed with money. Man, he's the one that created it. Here's the deal, is that people look at God and they want to make him like a man. They want to give him manly qualities. They want to give him fleshly weaknesses. And they want to turn God into a corruptible image. But let me tell you the first thing that I want to point out about this incorruptible nature of salvation that God has given to us, that it comes from an incorruptible God. Look at Romans in chapter 1 and verse 23. The source of our salvation is in an incorruptible God. In Romans in chapter 1 and verse 23, actually let's back up a little bit so we can get a little bit of context. It says there in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. Let me tell you something. There is a difference between the Creator and the creature. God is the Creator. We are the creature. It is an audacious thing. It is a very arrogant thing to think that we somehow are like God or equal to God or somehow on the same plane, or that somehow that we can possibly get up before God and maybe somehow make a deal with him. There are some people in life that are very, very persuasive. I mean, there are some people I wouldn't want them to sell me things because, man, they'll make the sale. They're just very persuasive. Let me tell you something. God is not, he's immune to persuasive arguments. He's immune to any kind of bribes. He's immune to any kind of deals. You can't make a deal with God and expect him to accept you based on that deal. He's the incorruptible God. You see, he cannot be corrupted, but then there's another aspect of that. He's the uncorruptible God. That means he's an eternal God. He's not corruptible. He said, you don't get your salvation with corruptible things like silver and gold received by vain tradition from our fathers. You know, we can't buy. By the way, you can't walk back there to that offering plate back there and put money in that thing and expect God to say, "Oh, man, I didn't know you put money in the box. Man, that changes everything." No, I'm sorry. Amen. It's not going to make any difference. God's not swayed by those things. God is eternal. Do you realize what the difference between corruptible and incorruptible is? Something that is uncorruptible will never change, never degrade, never go down. But some people say, well, you know, that's why we use gold, you know, because gold doesn't decay, you know, gold doesn't go down. Well, the only reason why we don't believe that gold decays is because we haven't been around long enough. Do you know what we know of corruptible things? It's a proven scientific fact that everything that is physical is going down. That includes our bodies, that includes rocks, that includes iron. I mean, back at the turn of the century, we built some incredible infrastructure in this country. We built some beautiful bridges, dams. And what did we build them out of? We built them out of concrete and out of iron. You know, man, you build something out of concrete and out of iron, it's supposed to last, right? That's what those people thought that were crossing that bridge one day, and all of a sudden that bridge started buckling and collapsing. It's corruptible. Everything goes down, but God, he's incorruptible. Do you know what the source of our salvation is? It's in an incorruptible God. That's why God's so offended when you make him like a corruptible man. That's why he takes such offense. He'll give you over to it. Okay, you want to be like that? So that's one of the reasons why we don't know statues, no images. We don't need anything like that. We have an incorruptible God. He's the source of our salvation. Look at back there at 1 Peter in chapter in 1 and verse 18. First, much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Let me tell you something else about the nature of your salvation. It's pointed out there in verse 19. It says that you weren't redeemed with these things, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And then it says, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. One of the things that the Israelites had to do when they presented a lamb for sacrifice is that lamb had to be without spot or blemish. It couldn't have mange on it. It couldn't have a leg missing. It couldn't have one eye in the middle of its forehead, you know. It had to be a regular lamb. It had to be perfect. It had to be shaped well. It had to meet the qualifications. It couldn't have spot or blemish or any such thing. Why? Because it was the picture of the incorruptible Jesus Christ, who was a lamb without spot and blemish. Do you understand that the reason why our salvation is incorruptible and why we cannot be redeemed with corruptible things? The nature of God's salvation is that it came from an incorruptible God and it was redeemed with incorruptible blood. Look at Hebrews in chapter 9 in verse 11. Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 11. He says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? I heard recently of a group of Muslims who and they were living in Belgium and had sacrificed a bunch of sheep. And the reason why it seemed to really make an impact was because of the number of sheep that they had offered. They had offered something like 900 sheep and they shed these animals' blood out there in the open, and they expect through their beliefs that God was going to cater to them, that God was going to honor them because of the sacrifice of these sheep. Listen, it wasn't the animal in the Old Testament. That's right. It wasn't the animal. That's right. God didn't look and say, oh man, they sacrificed a sheep, therefore I have to. No, that animal was a picture of the one that was to come. God was not honoring that animal. He was honoring his promise that one day he was going to give a Savior. One day he was going to present himself as a Lamb of God without spot or blemish. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Not with the blood of bulls and goats. Come on, go ahead and sacrifice. Sacrifice whatever you want to. I grew up in a religion that believed that God would save a man based on his sacrifice. And if you just did enough for the poor, or if you sacrificed yourself to humanity, that God would save you based on that. Here we had a very prominent woman in our religion that went to India and helped a lot of people. Hey, there is no doubt. That woman helped a lot of people. Mother Teresa, man, she alleviated a lot of suffering. I mean, I can't say anything bad, man. She wasn't, you know, smoking pot late at night, you know, or, you know, gambling away the church's money. You know, she lived in poverty. She helped alleviate the poor. She did a lot of things. So I can't say anything against that, but that doesn't sway God. It's not our sacrifices that make a difference. There was one incorruptible sacrifice made with incorruptible blood, and it is the only one that God recognizes for salvation. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received by vain tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 18. Just the next book over from Hebrews, James 1:18. It says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Look back there in 1 Peter in chapter 1 in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me tell you something else about the nature of our salvation that God has given. It comes from an incorruptible God. It was bought with incorruptible blood by an incorruptible sacrifice. And we ourselves are transformed and born again by incorruptible seed. Do you know there's a difference between the offspring of men and the offspring of God? There's a big difference. Do you know we die? Obviously. No, I didn't know that. No, yes. Some young people, they didn't know that. Nobody ever told me I was going to die. What are you talking about? Going to live forever. Well, then our seed also dies. We're corruptible. See, that was the big difference between the death of Jesus Christ. Is that the point was made in the book of Acts that David lay in the grave and his body is still with us, but not Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And you say, this is just a bunch of men that wrote that and don't believe it. Hey, you know, there was an investigative journalist one time that looked into all the evidence, and he concluded after looking at all the evidence, man, there was evidence upon evidence upon evidence that Jesus Christ did exactly what he said he did on that third day when he rose from the grave. Had all kinds of circumstantial evidence, had witnesses, had testimony, had everything he needed. I'm telling you something, the third day Jesus rose from the dead, we don't have his body. We don't have his shroud. Sorry. Guy's name was Ralph. He picked him up from some other grave, you know. Hey, you know how I know that that shroud has not come from the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because that shroud supposedly went all the way over and over the back, and it's got the image on the front and the image on the back. You look in the Bible, you find out that Jesus was wrapped, and then he had a face cloth on. It wasn't one big thing going all the way around. He was wrapped separate by his face. I mean, it may not make a lot of difference. Oh, man, that's the shroud. Some people say, you know, we've got a little sliver. It comes from the very cross, you know. You go to Israel. I've never been to Israel, but I want to go on one of those Holy Land tours so I can see these places. I really would like to go, but you got to be careful who you buy the tour from, because they'll take you to different places. Depending on who you take the tour from and where they have their authority to be able to go, you might go to the grave of Jesus over here, but somebody else has got a grave of Jesus over here. It doesn't really matter to me if we never know the place. By the way, if you did find the exact very spot that the body of Jesus Christ laid, you couldn't lay down in that spot and get healed. You couldn't expect to get some sort of power. Corruptible things don't save us. We are not born again through a corruptible process. By the way, when he says you're born again, it's not this willpower stuff. You know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to really try to be a Christian. I am going to do my best to read my Bible and to try to do these things. That doesn't save you. No corruptible things. Being born again by incorruptible seed. Let me tell you, I am a product of my Father, and as a product of my Father, one day I am going to die. I inherited death from my dad. But I inherited life from my Heavenly Father. Because no child of God ever dies. Mike pointed it out this morning at the resurrection. He says, man, you live and believe in me. You're never going to die. I was so thankful after I got saved, because one of the things that left me was the fear of death. I was afraid to die. I wasn't happy to die. You know, there were some of these guys, you know, and I was in the military, and it's, we're going to die. You know, they only do that for the cameras, you know. Nobody really wants to die, you know. Nobody really courts death in that sense. Oh, man, I didn't want to die. I didn't want to know. I mean, I knew I was wicked. I knew I was evil. I knew that there was a hell. You know, I was afraid to die. But let me tell you something. In Christ, as a son of God, we will never die. The nature of our salvation is not one, I turn over a new leaf, I do good for a little while, and then I fall again, and I mess up. You know, this is not like that at all. Jesus Christ commits an operation in you. That when you put your faith and trust in Him, you become born again. Let me show you the nature of this new birth. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, because there's something else that I want to point out that's real important. We have the conversation with Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ makes a statement, several statements. First one is in verse 3. Jesus answered him and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, what was Nicodemus thinking? Flesh or spirit? Flesh. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus' answer to his statement, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, how many would look at that verse? Don't have to raise your hand. But how many would look at that verse and immediately imply baptism? Let me tell you something. Baptism starts with a B. It's a different word. Water starts with a W. Just because you see water in the Scripture doesn't necessarily mean baptism. And by the way, just because you see baptism in the Scripture doesn't necessarily mean water. Doesn't equate. But there's all kinds of people saying, you got to be baptized in water and you got to be baptized in the Spirit. And it was explained to me a long time ago like this, that, you know, when you were little, we baptized you. We sprinkled water on your forehead and we took away your original sin when you were a baby. I didn't even know that happened, but they did it, and I was glad they did. You know, they took away my original sin. But then later on, I had to go through confirmation where they put oil on my head, and that's when I made a commitment. And they say, see, that's what it is. You're born of water, then you're born of the Spirit later on. But no, that's not it at all. Look what it says in the very next statement that he makes. He says there in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. He's not talking about baptism, confirmation, this or that. No, you're born once physically, fleshly. You have to now be born again spiritually. Amen. You become a new creature in Christ with a new nature. Everything in Christ is new. Amen. It's not the old man anymore. You see, you're born again with an incorruptible seed. Let me tell you how this works. That once you become a child of God, you are a child of God forever. Amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. And people say, well, you know, what if I decide not to be part of God anymore? Well, what if one of my sons decided, or one of my daughters decided, you know, I'm going to disown my dad. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. And so goes off into a foreign country and lives a separate life, completely separate from me, disowns me, everything else. Do you know how we could tell he's still my child? Go do one of those little DNA tests, right? That DNA will show it every time. You know, be careful. Yeah. Nowadays, we got DNA tests. There was a time when you could say, hey, my kid, you know. Can't do that no more, so be careful what you do. Amen. They're going to find you. And you're going to pay child support. They're going to get you, man. We could do a DNA test and we can show that, hey, this is my child. Same thing. Once you get that new nature from God, I'm telling you what, you've got it forever. It's not corruptible anymore. Corruptible things, they you lose them. They get lost. They get destroyed. They begin to deteriorate. Not the seed that God has given me. My new nature is not going to deteriorate. It's not going to go down. It is going to be forever because it's like God. It comes from an incorruptible God. Look at 1 Peter in chapter 3 in verses 3 and 4. Talking about women here, and he says, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, there's things about women we could talk about here, but my point in bringing this out is to show the incorruptible nature of the inner man. Because he first of all describes the outward thing. He says, let not your adorning be that outward adorning, a plaiting of hair and gold. And he says, that's not the adorning that's important. He said, the adorning that's important is that hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the new nature. You see, God's put a new man in us. We're not the same anymore. Thank God, brother. We're not the same anymore. We've been bought with a price. God has transformed us. And now there's a new man in us. And sometimes you get confused. You say, well, you know something? I still want to sin and I still want to do these things. That must mean I'm not a child of God. And that's supported by a lot of Christians who, when a Christian brother falls or a Christian sister falls, they just wipe their hands of them and say, nah, must not have been saved. Well, maybe not. Some cases, yeah, it's true. But then again, yeah. Do you know, as a saved man, you can do anything a lost man can do? Because you still got your old nature. You're still carrying around this old flesh. You're still encased in this temporal body here. But your new man, it's going to live on forever. It's never going to die. The body will. The old man will. Get tired of the old man. You get tired of your flesh. Don't worry. His day is coming. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you something, I'm looking for this transformation. Because right now, I'm still in a corruptible body. And so, in some senses, you can't look and see that anything at all has changed. Sometimes the physical, you know, doesn't change. Some people, they have drastic changes when they get saved. You know, they cut their hair, they wash their face, they stop doing drugs, you know, and start eating healthier. You know, it's amazing how much better you look when you take care of your body. But this body's going down. I saw an interesting website where they had all the pictures of these saints in these coffins in different churches around the world that are not decaying. They're not corruptible. And they say that one of the reasons, and the Catholics actually say that for some of these, it is a sign that they were holy when they were alive. Because you look at their bodies and you say, see, this person right here, this saint so-and-so of so-and-so died in 1661, and you look at her face and it's just the same as the day she's died. You say, it's a miracle. But you know, some miracle, you know, if it really was a miracle and if their bodies really weren't corrupting, then why would they want to protect them so much, you know? Suck all the oxygen out of these little containers that they're in and do all of these things to try to preserve them. Man, let me tell you something. Put them in the back of a pickup truck and haul them out into the country and bring them back. If they're not corruptible, nothing's going to change. But oh no, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Don't disturb. Don't change the temperature. Don't do anything. Man, poor janitor that one time, it was cleaning the church and drinking his Coke on break and spilled Coke on... Tell you. You know something? Even those bodies are corruptible. And it's not hard either. I can destroy the miracle with just a little bit of acid. Then take anything at all. God's going to change this body. God's going to make it something incorruptible. Amen. Nothing I do to this body will influence my salvation in any way. Let me tell you, this body is going down. God has not only provided me an incorruptible salvation that comes from an incorruptible God, shed by His incorruptible blood, given me an incorruptible new birth, but one day I'm actually going to have an incorruptible body. And all these things are going to go away. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, verse 1, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, it's talking about the body, do groan, being burdened, for that which we would be, for not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. When you get up in the morning, you've got those aches and pains, and the back hurts, and your eyes don't focus quite right. You look in the mirror and you don't even recognize yourself. You call 911 for an intruder. Don't laugh. I was working one day and had to go into this darkened house, no lights on. And I'm looking for the homeowner. He's asleep in some part of this house. We're working outside. I'm going to tell him that our crews are taking off. I'm walking down the highway, the hallway, and all of a sudden I just froze solid. And I said, "Who's there?" Because I saw the ugliest guy at the end of the hallway. And he's just staring back at me, looking at me like this. He wasn't moving and I wasn't moving. All this probably was in the space of just a couple of seconds before I realized, oh, hey, it's my reflection. I didn't recognize myself. What that had to do with anything, I don't know. Look at another verse in 1 Peter, where we were before. 1 Peter in chapter 1. And in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, this doesn't have anything to do with rewards, okay? This is an inheritance. You don't work for an inheritance. Rewards are something different. this is an inheritance, something you get by virtue of the fact that you are now a son of God. Your destination is so incredible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Our inheritance here on earth is not so. It's defiled, it's taxed, and faded away. IRS ain't coming for this one, buddy. I'm going to evade the taxes on this one. Come on, you want to come get it? Come collect it in person. I'll be in heaven. Just come on by. They ain't going to get this one. And it's not going to fade away. I'm getting tired of things that are fading away. You would think that if you parked a pickup truck and left it for 2 years, that it would be the same when you came back for it, right? I parked that Dodge, the one I'm driving right out there, for 2 years. I came back, you know, did a little fixing on the mechanic, and now it's kind of running again and doing okay. But the dashboard just splintered into a million pieces. I'm looking at that thing, man. I went to put my coffee cup down on that dashboard when I drove her for the first time. It, it just splintered. It's corruptible. You know, the sad thing is that there are men who live for that. If you're living for earthly things, I would change my mind today. If you're living for earthly dreams, I would change. I would find something better to live for. If you're just living for the next party, for the next good time, for the next thing coming down the horizon, you're saving your money for the next possession, forget all that. Live for something that's eternal. Because you have an incorruptible God who has provided you an incorruptible salvation and has made of you an incorruptible creature and put in you an incorruptible nature and has promised you an incorruptible body and has given you an incorruptible inheritance.
Yes, amen.
I would live for those things.
Amen.
Look at Colossians in chapter 3 and in verse 1. If you were here in Sunday school, you heard the exposition of this passage, so I don't have to expound on it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things in the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And that's the end statement. My friend, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? Then ask you whether you've ever been religious. But if you've ever humbled your heart in the sight of God and asked Him to save you from your sins and cleanse your soul. If you're not saved here today, then my heart really goes out to you. Because you've got nothing to live for but death. Everything you own, everything you experience, everything you have, all of your dreams, your hopes, your goals, everything is going to be nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you will die without Christ and spend an eternity separated from Christ in hell. But that's not what He wants for you. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received by vain tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, of as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is that precious lamb. He is that Savior. He is the one that will take you, a dying creature, and He will make you alive so that you will live forever. He can save you today from your sins. You got to trust Him. You got to call upon His name and repent of your sins and turn towards Him. He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Come today and be saved and ask Jesus Christ to save you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd have mercy. Oh God, I pray that You'd open eyes, that You would cause understanding in the hearts of men here today. I pray, Lord, that from the worst to the best, anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, that you'd have mercy on them today and save them from their sins. Put them on that new road that leads to life. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand and turn to number 249.